The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it this morning. Thanks for letting us be a part of your Tuesday morning, part of your Thanksgiving week. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Kelly, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
Hanging out right here, man.
That's what we're doing.
Where else would I be but the South Point? Come on.
We're going to be right here. Right here.
We're organizing a potluck dinner downstairs.
Oh, really?
Except for, I'm just going to pin it on Isaiah. I wouldn't want to pin on Isaiah. But we have a turkey problem. So we're going to have 17 sides, but no turkey.
But that's how you do Thanksgiving. Who wants the turkey, man?
Turkey's amazing.
What?
Shut up. You're one of those guys? Come on. I love turkey.
Wait a minute. You're entitled to like turkey. Turkey is amazing?
Turkey's amazing. Thanksgiving dinner is one of the best dinners of the year.
Turkey is amazing. Mm-hmm. That's your pro tip of the hour, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen. Wow.
Hot tip.
Never heard that from anyone, ever.
Oh, God. You don't like a good Thanksgiving Day turkey?
I do not.
Damn. How about like a Cajun deep fried? You ever have one of those?
Oh, that's a different story.
That's good stuff.
I mean, it's all about the stuffings. Thanksgiving is only as good as the stuffing. And my mom was one of those moms who was like, Gilly, I'm going to put the raisins in. You love raisins and nuts in. No, I don't. Just make the stovetop. Just give me the stovetop. She was terrible at that.
I'm with you there.
I love her dearly, though. On the show today, Jim Root, college hoops, Pete Futak, college football. Pete and I, maybe a fist fight by the end of the segment, as we tend to get into it each and every time, arguing about.
Got a little testy last week.
Is it me getting testy or was it him? It was more me getting testy last time.
Yeah.
JVT on the NBA. Drew Dinsick will join us, of course, bearing the headline there from the NBC Sports Edge or NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast and also the Deep Dive podcast. We'll talk NFL and pro basketball with him as well. First things first, there's a lot of news and notes, but overnight, in case you missed it, World Cup, one of the biggest upsets in World Cup history. You see this? Saudi Arabia.
Wild.
As a 25-1 pre-flop favorite, takes down one of the tournament favorites, Argentina. Lionel Messi and Argentina, they beat them 2-1. After trailing 1-0, Messi got a penalty kick early, 10 minutes in, 10th minute, I should say. And Saudi Arabia came back to win it 2-1. Massive upset. I think Paul Carr had Argentina minus 2.5 goals in this game, if I'm not mistaken, from last week.
I believe so as well. So, I didn't even see that part. I didn't even see that Argentina scored their one goal on a penalty kick.
Yes, sir. Now, they had 3 goals called back by offside penalties in the first half as well. That should be noted.
Oh, so that's why I was seeing 100 people complaining about refs on Twitter.
Of course. Of course.
It's all rigged, Gil. It's all rigged. Wait 4 years to organize all this to rig it.
You thought that was an American sports betting thing? No. Globally, everybody thinks the fix is in. So it was 25-1 pre-flop for Saudi Arabia. In game, they were as high as 100-1. Some people say a tick more than that. But consensus 100-1 when they were down 1-0. And on like exchanges like Betfair, where you can match with another person, as high as 500-1. Exact score in game, 2-1 finish when they were down 1-0 on Betfair, 1,000-1. It just goes on and on. But 25-1 preflop, 100-1 in game. Unbelievable shenanigans in the World Cup. Speaking of shenanigans, you see the United States sort of backpedal their way into a 1-1 tie with Wales yesterday?
Yeah, I saw it. I was on the air live for that one. Yeah, here's how my hot World Cup betting is going so far.
Yeah.
I had USA to win that yesterday and to advance past the group stage, so I guess that one's still live, but lost on the winning and the three-way side of that. And then I had Argentina-Brazil group-winning parlay. Whoopsie. I have that one in.
Hmm.
So great start for me. Let's go World Cup.
Pretty much the only bet I think I've hit in the World Cup so far is the draw in the United States game. So I was not upset by that penalty kick, which was a correct call. The best part about it, all of this, for those of us who are not like soccer first guys, is watching there's nothing quite as great as soccer punditry. Like before the match, like listening to Alexei Lalas wedge himself into when I was playing, that kind of thing. But then afterwards, you just know soccer Twitter and also the post game, they're just going to murder United States soccer for anything else than a win in that match with Wales. And but the whole 30 minutes of Landon Donovan, Alexei Lalas, and Clint Dempsey saying this some version of this sentence for a half an hour. Well, you know, We would have liked to have had the extra 2 points there on the win, but you know, you take your one and you move on. That sentence rejiggered like different chords in a song 10, 20 different ways. That's soccer.
So really it's going to come down to, unless you can pull off a miracle draw with England, or it's going to be who amongst the USA and Wales can run it up the most on Iran.
They're still set up all right, because they, besides England, they still got to face Iran, right? So, they you know, it'll come down to the performance. It starts with the performance, certainly, on Friday against England. As far as what's going on right now, Tunisia and Denmark, for those who care about such things, do they end in a 0-0 draw? Is that how that happened? What's the final there?
Yes, 0-0 draw.
0-0 draw.
Full time.
Okay. And then, of course, our football last night. San Francisco 49ers just opened up a can on the Arizona Cardinals, who had Colt McCoy at starting quarterback. Niners went at 38-10. I lost an in-game here, Kelly. After the Cardinals went up 3-0, I went under 41.5, which is just a tick below what the pre-flop number was. And then the Niners proceeded to score 5,000 times in a row, it felt like. Niners 38, Cardinals 10. And I texted you after the game last night. I'm like, you know what? There's really not a whole bunch to really dive into this game other than I think I know who the 14 playoff teams are. Can I go Colin Cowardish on you right now?
What you got, bro?
I think we know who the 14 playoff teams are, and I would like to tell you who I believe they are, and then everybody can sort of, you know, let the hate, I'll let the hate wash over me on Twitter afterwards.
Translation, shut up, Kelly, for 2 minutes while Bill goes through this.
No. Not at all. Not at all. You're welcome to jump in and tell me how ridiculous I'm being.
All right, what you got?
All right, AFC.
So what you got, the NFC?
You want to start NFC?
Sure.
Let's start AFC.
Let's start AFC.
NFC is more controversial. AFC. I think the Dolphins and Bills from the East. I think
that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Chiefs and Chargers from the West, Ravens and Bengals from the North, and the Titans will win the AFC South with their 2.5 game advantage right now. So so what I am saying basically, without deciding who the division winners are in the East or in the North.
Or the North.
Yeah, but I still think it's the Ravens are going to win that division because their schedule is easier than the Bengals. I believe that the Chargers will get past both the Patriots and Jets. That's really the calculus there.
Yeah, I wish I could push back on this one, but I 100% agree with you. I think the Jets' problems that they're having in house right now are a factor at this point in
massive.
The season.
Massive.
I mean, that's a thing at this point. Thing or not a thing, that's a thing at this point in the season, right? Patriots. Well, I just laid 2.5 with the Vikings this morning, so
I just don't think the Jets thing. You're exactly right about, right? With the whole Zach Wilson thing and him not taking responsibility, and that's a mess. And I don't know, like, you know, Saleh is not committing to him now.
Right.
Jets coach Robert Saleh did not commit to starting quarterback Zach Wilson, previously starting quarterback Zach Wilson, in week 12 this coming week against the Bears. And that line has bounced up and down. Also, by the way, on the Chicago Bears side, Justin Fields, with that dislocated shoulder and his non-throwing shoulder in the week 11 loss to the Falcons, he's considered day-to-day. So that line's doing all kinds of funky things. But I think the Chargers get past the Jets, call the internal problems they're having, even though the Jets have players, but they just have a mess. They're in a mess right now. And I don't think the Patriots are very good at football. So I think the Chargers will get past them. And the NFC.
I do agree with that. I want to bring up one thing real quick about the AFC. I saw an Aaron Schatz tweet today.
Mm-hmm. I know that guy.
Aaron Schatz tweet. It was like just a few minutes ago. He has the AFC East at a slightly over 20% chance of getting all four teams in playoffs.
That's about 20%. That's probably right.
Still, it just at this point in the year, that's just it's amazing to think there's a division that could do that at this point in the year.
The problem is I don't think, like, I mean, who's the other team in the AFC that can even enter the argument of getting into the seven? I mean, the Colts would be the best team record-wise of the rest, 4-6-1.
Yeah, nobody else is getting into the Colts.
Nobody else is getting in, yeah. Right? Everybody else kind of sucks.
I mean, you're right. They're kind of the only ones, I think, mathematically that could even get into the conversation, but
There's still some Jags people out there who think they're good at 3-7. They do have a point differential of plus 11, but I'm not buying it. No. All right, let's go to the NFC. Here are the teams I think are getting in the NFC. The Niners and Seahawks in the West. The Vikings from the North, still having their 4-game lead in that division despite losing. The Buccaneers, as bad as I think they are, will get in from the South.
And winning the South?
Yeah. And from the East, It'll be the Eagles, the Cowboys, and this is what I said on guessing lines yesterday.
Oh, here you go.
The Washington Commanders will surpass the Giants. Said this yesterday. And those are your seven teams in the NFC. So the obvious dispute in the NFC will be, you're crazy, Gil. You're going, the Giants are gonna outlast Washington. I don't think they are. But the thing is, I don't think there's much. The point of that whole rant there is, not really a rant, but just the point of that whole conversation there is, I think it's kind of crystal clear.
Yeah.
And there's not, I guess the point is, even if you do debate those 14 teams, there's not much of one. There's only a couple other teams. You can be like, no, I think you're wrong about the Commanders. I think it will be the Giants. I think you're wrong about the Chargers. I think it will be the Patriots or the Jets.
So
that's about it.
So I think even as much as look, do I think the Giants have a better chance of getting into the Commanders? Yes. But is it slight? Yes. But if you look at the NFC, look at both conferences. NFC, there's really only about eight teams that are live, in my opinion. And in the AFC, there's only nine. So, like you said.
And the schedules play into everything I said, right? The Chargers have a really easy schedule. Washington has a much easier schedule. Like, you know, that is a big factor in what I'm saying there. So, those are the 14 teams. Now, do I know who's going to win the NFC East? Because most of the divisions are kind of, we kind of can surmise who's going to win all divisions. It's a little more murky, but as far as the 14 teams, I think we kind of know them. Let's mark those down. Pre-Thanksgiving call. See what happens. Once the final week of the NFL season concludes, Drew Dinsick joins us on the other side to talk NFL and NBA for both the Bet the Edge and Deep Dive podcast. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. It's that simple. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Producer number 9 is here. So much more than a producer. Kelly, you know, I come in and I'm like, hey, I'm going to say who the 14 playoff teams are, and surely people will react to that. No, they just want to talk about the turkey exchange we had. That's all they want to talk about. This is from...
That fires people up, man.
Patty Romp. Give me the holiday ham all day. Sean Higgs.
See, I'm not a big holiday ham guy. I'll take turkey multiple times a year. I don't want ham.
How about ham. How about this then? Las Vegas Chris by text. Let me handicap turkey for you. Crispy turkey wings far better than best chicken wings. You're not into that either, are you?
I don't think I can get behind that. I love a good buffalo wing. I mean, look, you go to Disney World, Disneyland, you get that turkey leg. It's great, sure, whatever. But, yeah.
Sean Higgs, Gil's mom choosing violence, putting raisins in Thanksgiving stuffing. Horrible.
That is just cruel.
Kelly, turkey is great. Extra, what did he say? Extra mayo to dip? No gravy? That is disgusting. Sean, what are you?
I don't know about that one.
Oh, Sean, The Better Life, Tim Lawson. A farm fresh turkey, the way to go. You'll never get a frozen butter ball from the grocery store again.
Oh, I've done that before. That is true.
Jason H11. Kelly, you're wasting your time with Gil. His idea of a great Thanksgiving is brisket and matzo ball soup. What you mean, Gilly? You love my brisket. That's an old numbers game reference. Kanye, was that you?
Yeah.
Will, the Pepsi guy. Agree that turkey is amazing, but stuffing is where the money is at.
See, I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I think that point is valid. Stuffing makes the meal.
Angriest guy in New Jersey is a good move. He says, that's effing hilarious, Gil. He says, I'm going to put the raisins in you. I love raisins. Oh, my God, that's funny. Scott, New York Mets 16. Oh, Gil, my long-lost brother separated at birth. Stuffing. My wife makes an amazing turkey, but it's all about the sides and stuffing from inside the turkey. That's at the head of the table. That's all people want to talk about here. Last one. Easy pickings, too. Was never a turkey guy until I had a honey-baked ham store. Smoked turkey breast will turn your train around. Turn your train around, Kelly.
Turn your train around.
Not just
you.
I've
never heard that expression.
Your train around. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the host of not one but two podcasts, NBC Sports Bet the Edge. Also the Deep Dive with his buddy Andy Molitor, who we've had on this show as well. It's Drew Dinsick at whale_capper. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I like that saying, turn your train around. I guess that's just like, it's hard because, you know, it's on a track. So to turn it around, it has to be like really like just blow you right off the track. It flips your train around. This is very interesting.
It's a big hit for George Benson in the early 80s. Turn your train around, I believe it was called.
No? Breaking down expressions. No? Little known expressions with Drew Dinsick. New segment on
another. Drew going.
I like it too.
Drew going with the mustard 2 weeks in a row. What's going on? You like got a job at ABC Sports in the 70s? What's happening?
This is very much ABC. Yeah, no, it's in right now. Well, you know this, of course.
I should.
Yeah, mustard gold is in right now.
Okay. Let me just ask you this, because before the break, I said, I think we know the 14 playoff teams in the NFL. I really do. I just think it's not that complicated at this point, which is pretty consistent. Kelly and I do, as you do, power rankings every week. Pretty consistent with the fact that there's never been a year where our power rankings have been so static, because there's a lot of teams that are absolute dreck, and there's a lot of middling teams that aren't really that good at football either. So here's my theory. In the AFC, it's going to be the usual, the teams that you would think. And the only, let's just go through them. Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs, Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, Titans, which means I think the Chargers will get past the Patriots and the Jets. What say you about that?
I tend to agree. They're going to get healthier. Justin Herbert is a monster. They've played themselves into a nice little hole here, though. And, you know, I think, yeah, the AFC East is going to, they're going to inflict losses on each other. There's not a huge margin between those teams. And, I think that could knock the Patriots and the Jets out of the mix here. But, I think overall your concept is pretty fair.
Right.
In years past, there are, you know, shuffling at the top of divisions that knocks teams out of the playoff mix. But the teams that you would kind of highlight as kind of fraudulent division leaders are so clearly in control of their divisions. They're not really vulnerable to falling out of the mix. I'm of course talking about the Minnesota Vikings and the Tennessee Titans. They basically got those divisions on lock, and those are sort of the two teams you would kind of put in the middling of the NFL right now. So
Kelly, it's, yeah. Drew just called your Vikings a fraud at the top of the NFC North. Just call them a fraud.
I mean, it's hard for me to believe much after last week's results.
The only other thing, by the way, I had Washington passing the Giants in the NFC as my other sort of semi-controversial thing, which I don't even think is that controversial. So that's the only other one.
That's definitely live. Yeah. Giants flipping. I mean, you look at the last two results for the Houston Texans. It was a game they should have won against the Giants, and then an absolutely convincing loss to the Commanders. Right. So, you know, right. You hang those two next to each other. Who's playing better right now? You know, Heinicke clearly, more capable of operating the Scott Turner offense than, you know, Carson Wentz ever was, which is makes you wonder why they went and got him in the first place. But
the moment the trade happened. We didn't take us this long to figure that out. So let me just ask you this, and we'll start with, we'll get to your broad, what we have picks wise. But the Jets and the Bears, we were talking about a little earlier, the Zach Wilson mess, the Justin Fields injury, which is nebulous. I think he's out, but not really officially, because Eberflus is trying to play it coy here. Do you do anything with that game without knowing who's playing quarterback for the Jets, first of all?
I think the writing's on the wall that the Zach Wilson experiment is over. Absolutely. I'm not laying points with Zach Wilson in this spot. No way. No way.
But you would. But you would with either with Mike White, as we like to say here, or Joe Flacco, or any other version of quarterback.
Definitely with Mike White. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I like he has, and I would go with Mike White personally, just because he has an element of mobility that Flacco doesn't really add. Flacco may be able to operate more of a precision passing system if that's what you're trying to go for. But what we've seen kind of with LaFleur and the Jets kind of conceptually what they want to do fits right perfectly with what Mike White can do. So I think that would be a relatively successful pairing there. Bears defense, obviously devoid of talent. That's been just, the one-way traffic against them since they traded away Roquan Smith. And I think the Jets with Mike White at the helm, probably, they may threaten for a playoff spot. And, I'm expecting pretty obviously this is no Justin Fields in this one. If Justin Fields surprise calls his own number, like we've seen Josh Allen and Justin Herbert do this season, then maybe this is a little different. But I'm expecting they put Fields on ice. This is the Trevor Siemian show on the road against a very, very good Jets defense. And the Jets are a really interesting team to talk about, because typically if you have a second year quarterback that you spent number two overall capital on, who has had 20 starts, you are an embattled GM. If we are talking about this guy should be benched, right? Like that's a, usually that's a career ender. But there may be no safer GM in the NFL right now than Joe Douglas, considering what he got out of last year's draft. I mean, they have the clear defensive rookie of the year in Sauce Gardner. They have other contributors that they came out of that class on the defensive side of the ball. You know, Johnson looks like he can, you know, add some spunk to that offensive defensive line. And then you have, you know, clear contributors for years to come and Garrett Wilson at wide receiver. And Breece Hall when he comes back from the ACL. So it's, you know, they smashed the draft last year. And in doing so, I think, you know, Douglas, you know, cements his tenure. I think Sala cemented his tenure already with a 6-4 record to this point, because, you know, we were looking at this team like, man, if you're the defensive genius that we've brought over from San Francisco and you can't even get these guys playing right, then why are you here? And he has got them playing right. And so, you know, both guys kind of answered the key questions that they needed to sort of ensure their longevity with this franchise. And I think that's kind of puts them in a unique place where they can now make a decision like, we're done with Wilson. Sala probably has to make that decision because there are some, you know, there's some pretty vocal you know, kind of outspoken members of this defense in that locker room. And if he is, you know, if he elects to ignore the reality that he is living in right now, then, you know, you can lose some effort from those guys. And then if the defense starts to flag, then, you know, maybe some of his stability in terms of, you know, being the coach for 2023 and beyond is at risk. So
I'll even go as far as to say, Drew, that if Zach Wilson had a different answer to that question, right, whether he taking responsibility, that he might still be the starting quarterback this week. Like, legitimately, that was the nail in his coffin. Because I do think at 6-4, it is the coach's responsibility to look at the rest of the team and say, all right, we can make the playoffs here, so it is my responsibility to give you the best chance of doing so. But I legit think that if he answered it differently, we might not be having this conversation right now.
If you had a clear thinker, though, who was really kind of and Sala and Douglas may be those guys. If you were really sitting back, though, and you're like, hey, we need to make the playoffs this year, and you look at what's coming up on your schedule with Bears Vikings, you don't put Zach Wilson out there and have him look good against the Bears. And then you're stuck with him for the rest of the season.
I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying, I don't know that what we're thinking is necessarily what they were at that point.
That's true.
But that answer solidified it. So a nail in his coffin, to use the cliche. We'll come back. Drew's bets, what he has bet this week. Week 12 in the National Football League. His NBA thoughts as well tonight. What do you think about some teams in the NBA as well? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You don't have to wait until after Turkey Day to score a Black Friday deal with VSiN. New VSiN Pro annual subscribers get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. With VSiN Pro access, you get a daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive daily betting reports, plus our upcoming College Bowl and Super Bowl betting guides. The VSiN store is a great place to shop for VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Motorcycles, I'm told, by Kelly Bidlin. Hurry, it's a limited time Black Friday offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at VSiN.com/subscribe.
I saw Miles downstairs, our director of something here at VSiN, rocking a very, very nice VSiN beanie.
Really?
Yeah, it actually looked quite comfortable.
Yeah, when we get all the VSiN store stuff for the crew, as a promotion for the VSiN store, let's announce every item on air so people know what's available, what people have chosen.
Will do. Sent out that email yesterday.
Excellent.
What a nice gesture of guilt, but nothing in no responses yet of what people want.
And they're like, real exciting, Gil. Can you give us something else?
Motorcycles, though.
Yeah, motorcycles. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Luke, walk it out. Saudi Arabia upsets Argentina. He says it's 18-1 dogs, but 25-1 dogs was the real number. He says, was it you that was saying about the ends of the bell curve being thicker than people realize? That was Chrissy Andrews on Guessing Lines yesterday. And yes, that applies apparently to World Cup soccer as well. J.D. Emmons, who was kind enough to hang out after the show the other day outside the studio from Northern Alabama. He and his buddies are big listeners to the show. Appreciate it. J.D. couldn't have been nicer. He said, turkey is delicious? Insanity. I can't trust a man that spews such poppycock. Time for producer number 10, he says.
All right, I'll take the day.
No, you stay. Just a suggestion.
Wyatt, you're up.
Wyatt's up. J&J Watering Hole. Oyster stuffing will change your life. Turkey good, but man, oyster stuffing forever. Stephen Vegas, want to start a heated debate at the table for Thanksgiving? Is it stuffing or dressing? Gil, for the record, it's stuffing. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Kelly, and the ANG team.
No, it's stuffing. My father says dressing. It drives me insane.
I remember the first time
I heard. What are we dressing?
What are we doing? Trevor Warwick, take raisins out of stuffing and add cashews. Cashews and stuffing is a game changer. I don't want that in my stuffing
either.
See,
I'd try that, but I don't know that I'd. Yeah,
I love cashews and I love stuffing. I don't want them.
Don't know what I want that. Yeah.
It's not a Reese's peanut butter commercial. Corbin, as a Canadian who loves Thanksgiving to no end, this turkey talk has me wanting to hunt one down. And have another Thanksgiving since ours was a month and a half ago. Hate that after I've had my turkey fixed that y'all got to talk about it for a week straight. It's torture.
You can make one again. Nobody's stopping you. That's what I always catch the most heat for over this argument. It's the Matt Brown argument. It's the how often you actually going out and cooking the Thanksgiving dinner, which is a fair argument.
Yeah.
It only happens once or twice a year, but...
And finally from JC, 9877-1314. I saw a guy in Lethal Weapon pop that shoulder back into place and keep on trucking. Let's go, Fields. Offensive player of the year. Big ticket. Need you, kid. Get out there. LOL. I saw a guy in Lethal Weapon. Melvin Gibson, I believe, is who did that. Noted.
Riggs? Right? It was Riggs.
Riggs
and Murtaugh.
Before we knew he was an awful human being in real life. Ladies and gentlemen, Drew Densick's still with us after all that. They want to tweet about turkeys. That's all they want to tweet about, Drew. Sorry.
Hey, man, I'm getting on a plane to Maui tomorrow. You guys can have your turkeys.
Oh. Where in Maui are you staying, by the way?
On the west side, so north, like the Nepali area.
Oh, okay. You struck me as a Wailea guy, but okay. All right.
Wailea is good. Little resorty, yep. You know.
Well, yeah, I hear you. Okay, what did you bet this week in the NFL? What do you got so far?
Pretty light card for me. Took a swing against Kelly's Vikings. I'm taking Patriots money line in the night spot there. Patriots playing some damn good defense right now. They have a pass rush that is, a factor. And going up against an offensive line that is missing some key pieces. The underreported sort of impact that the injury has had to Christian Darrisaw and what that has meant to the pass protection of the Vikings, I think, really was a huge, huge impact in that Cowboys game. And I would expect that to be another impact in a short week. Justin Jefferson obviously is a huge difference maker. But Patriots have the scheme to really kind of keep him in check. Patriots defense really only concerned about them when they go up against a mobile quarterback. You know who does not qualify? Kirk Cousins.
True.
Fact.
True dad. You okay, Kelly, with that? Patriots?
Yeah,
makes
cool.
Sense.
Me and Drew heads up this week. It's
everything
okay.
Makes sense. What
I,
did you say?
I laid the 2.5 this morning. I mean, everything he's laying out, completely agree with. My concern is what do the Patriots do when they actually have the ball?
Yeah, there is that.
Cowboys offense didn't expose some things about that Vikings defense.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but could the Patriots offense do what the Cowboys offense did? I don't know. I got questions there. Yeah.
What else you got, Drew? What else you bet?
Monday Night Football, I like the Pittsburgh Steelers, played them on the money line as well. I kind of expected that the, you know, I bet on the Bengals last week, expecting largely that was going to be, kind of Lou Anarumo holding Kenny Pickett's head underwater a little bit there. But no, Pittsburgh's offense, they've got some firepower. A little bit impressed by what they were able to do in terms of kind of score and answer over the first three quarters of that game. And I think they match up well against an Indianapolis defense, even though they're on the road here. Pittsburgh should be able to score enough points to put some pressure on Indianapolis. Matt Ryan, again, very statuesque in the pocket up against what I think is one of the better, at least the top three defensive line in football as currently constituted. This is the TJ Watt show in every which way I can imagine. Pittsburgh pulls off the upset, and I think the fighting Mike Tomlin's going for that 500 record might be a bet on a couple of times here down the stretch if Kenny Pickett can continue to play like that.
You've heard that stat too. Amazing. I thought it was just us.
That was, coming out of last week, that was one of the biggest under-the-radar takeaways from the week for me, though. The Steelers' performance against the Bengals. Like, they put up points.
It was totally under the radar, too, because we were all like, it was a pretty bad day of, if betting didn't exist, right, it would have been an unwatchable day of football, largely.
Correct.
And then once you got to that, and the Vikings-Cowboys game was such a blow, they literally left the Vikings-Cowboys game to show us Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. And so, it was sort of under the radar until it wasn't. By the way, I make the Mike Tomlin joke, Drew, not to make fun, but the fact that everybody is so we're so randomly startled by that week after week. Really, I didn't hear that. I've heard that before.
That was everybody's lead note on the Steelers lead during note. The summer breakdown of the Steelers.
That's right.
Like, well, let's keep in mind here. Thousand people. Steelers under Mike Tomlin have never gone under 500.
Yeah, I haven't heard that Mike Tomlin.
I don't know if you guys see on their schedule as they're coming up against the games against the Ravens. I don't know if you know this, but there's no love lost between
those
teams.
No love lost. You know what the other thing was? Hey, when the Steelers pay the Ravens, fade those teams the next week because, boy, they beat up each other. Anything else NFL that you have?
Those are it for me for sides so far. A couple other things I'm circling with injury news really going to be the determining factor. That's where we're at right now in the NFL. Okay. I mean, Chargers, I think the Chargers should be closer to a touchdown against the Cardinals. The Cardinals pretty clearly look like they have given up on the season, which is fine. And I think, Chargers at least, not expecting Mike Williams to go, but I like the connection that you're seeing between Herbert and Palmer. That's a solid one. And then also the I got the Niners circled as a bet on as well here if that stays under 10.
Yeah, Niners only team as soon as they made the decision to keep Jimmy G, I immediately bet them to win the Super Bowl and to win the NFC, and I still love having those tickets. I think they're just that good. Here's the other thing. The only other bit of quarterback news that we haven't mentioned here, because we talked about Fields, we talked about Zach Wilson, Matthew Stafford re-entering the league's five-step concussion protocol. Have we possibly seen the last of Matthew Stafford?
Possibly for a while. I've heard, there's been rumblings, and you guys maybe heard this, and maybe even we talked about this, but, he's got a pretty serious elbow injury, and, to the degree that they want to just trot him out there again next year with a relatively old team that's fragile, he may go for the old Tommy John surgery at some point here, at which point, his availability for next year is going to be in question, so it's entirely possible.
Chiefs, more than a two-touchdown favorite against the Rams, who are, by the way, in case you missed it, the defending Super Bowl champions, as hard as that is to believe. NBA, anything tonight? NBA?
I didn't play the NBA tonight because I couldn't find an angle. I've been losing pretty aggressively in the NBA the last week, and that and the fact that World Cup is on has kind of stolen the show here.
You have a World Cup bet for us.
I can give you a story that you and the listeners can sweat out with me from now until the end of the World Cup.
Okay.
Saudi Arabia to win it all.
In the Bet the Process Calcutta, I ended up with Iran. There's a side pot that the team that concedes the most goals in a single game wins 3% of the pot. So that's a potential, I think, 13, 14K payout.
You are in the driver's seat.
Yeah. So basically, if any team scores 7 goals between now and the end of the tournament, I basically lose 13 grand, which is that's going to be I was up at 2 this morning watching Argentina because I was worried. this is going to be my life for the next 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, you got to sweat this out for weeks, Drew.
Wait a minute. But you said you said more than 7 goals. But wait a minute. Don't you get to sort of give up more goals still too as Iran?
Oh, it's in a single game. So Iran's got the pot.
Gotcha.
Got the pot with 6, and I would split the pot if anyone else concedes 6.
So
basically, I just want some good competitive soccer. That's all I'm asking for.
Drew just wants fair play and no one to get hurt. He just wants a good tournament.
That's right. If it's 0-0 draws, so be it.
Meanwhile, Drew, like, watching Iran the next 2 games, like, give up 7. Why not one of these other games? All right, Drew, we'll sweat it out with you. We appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick, everybody. At @whale_capper. Kelly guessing some college football lines on the other side. Numbers Game, VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game, and if your bet loses, You'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently. Take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. And if your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. By the way, one little hockey note, Kelly.
Yeah.
The New Jersey Devils have won their 13th in a row to equal a franchise record.
Name a New Jersey Devil.
Scott Stevens, of course. played in the 90s. Scott Stevens. What are you talking about? Of course I know one. But my point about hockey thus far this year, the Bruins are 17-2. The Devils on the 13-game win streak are 16-3, and the Knights, I believe, are 15-4.
It's nutty, right? We were talking a little bit about it on Big Bets yesterday.
Well, I've been talking with Jay Kahn about this the last couple weeks. I think I might have mentioned with Andy McNeil, too, which is I actually went back and looked. Now we're getting to the 20-game mark in hockey. But I actually went back and looked historically, like, what are the best 20-game starts in the history of the National Hockey League? And it is true that there have been better starts than the three-team starts that I just mentioned. But there's never been a year where three teams have had this good of a start. So we talk about it in other sports, the ever-widening chasm between the haves and the have-nots. I used to talk about it in baseball. Now you're seeing it a little bit in football, I think. Are we seeing it in hockey, too? Because, like Jake was like, I think it's random, maybe. I don't know. Like, the Bruins casually have won 7 in a row again.
Yeah, I believe the one point we did talk to him about this a little bit last week. I believe the one point he did bring up, which is kind of interesting, is, like, if you're looking at the Bruins especially right now, disregard the money line. Like, you just play the puck line. There's no need. They're winning every game by multiple goals.
The Bruins have 80 goals and 40 against.
That's crazy.
The Devils 73-44 against, and the Knights 73-51
Bruins
in terms of
the puck
goal
line
differential
in 7 straight games.
Man,
like, that's wild.
It also gets to our question, as not the hugest hockey bettors in the world, of okay, well, if these teams are going to be such massive favorites on the money line, is there any value going against them?
So I think the one. So
not so far.
Bruins and Golden Knights were a little bit expected, right? A little bit. The Devils are out of nowhere.
Golden Knights weren't expected. They were expected not. A lot of people said they would stink.
Yeah, but wasn't it one of those they kind of had a down season last year, so maybe they're having a slightly better season than expected this year?
At least the people I heard, anecdotally, right, were like, oh, they're going to stink.
My point is, though, the Devils, nobody really expected, right? Yeah. So I would think, you know, if we were sitting here talking NBA, right, and I'll compare it to the Utah Jazz. At a certain point, the market gets to a point where I'm betting heavily almost every time the Jazz take the court, because I don't think that the number is truly representative of how good they are or how bad they are, but how good they are. Jazz have been decent. And the opponent that they're playing. So if the Devils are off to this incredibly hot start, but we do think over time they're going to lose some games and it's going to even out, then it would make sense that there is value pretty much every single night on whatever team they're playing.
Yeah, they're not. That's absolutely. Well, yes. Look at it that way. Correct. The Boston Bruins are not going to maintain a 17-2 pace the rest of the hockey season, nor are the Devils going to continue to win every single game, nor are the Knights going to have this record. So, yes. Now the question becomes, though, are you going to be the guy to do it every single day? Of course not.
Hell no. I mean, I've been doing that against the Jazz for the most part, and that's been
That's where guys like Andy McNeil and Jake Hahn come in, where they can sort of expertly give us a more narrowed, yes, targeted view of when you can bet against those teams. Kelly, you ready to guess some college football lines?
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Guessing Lines with Kelly Bidlin.
Special edition this week, Gil. It is all the cruise schools involved for the most part. We got people. You're giving me a weird look.
So,
the schools are where people that work on this show went to school at.
I see. Tufts. They ended their season against Middleton last week, yeah. So I'm assuming I'm not included in this.
Yeah, we had a couple exceptions. Sorry, okay. Tufts, yeah. Not involved. Oh. Matt, who runs our graphics downstairs, Southern Illinois, their season ended last week, so not involved.
All right. So when we give the game.
Jeff Jens, I didn't know you were working today, so not involved.
Sorry, Jeff. When you give the games, you tell us who went to which school. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go to the Pac-12. By the way, rivalry week, Kelly, I know you knew that. For those who are just landing on this for the first time, you're like, wait, Kelly guesses college football lines? Yeah, Kelly, he knows sports. He knows lots of sports really, really well. College football, not really among them. So
NHL, that's my go-to.
NHL's go-to. He knows hockey. Arizona State at Arizona, Pac-12, what do you got?
All right, this is the Isaiah Ringel game right here. Isaiah, our great director on this show.
Which one did he go to?
He went to Arizona State. He went to Arizona State. And what I want to know as a Florida guy, that'll be our next game, mm-hmm. Florida State guy, which one's the smarter school in the state? Because I always get trash talked, like, oh, you went to Florida State, well, you couldn't get into Florida. You never hear that about Arizona State and Arizona, though, you know? okay, anyways, I got Arizona -3.5. I don't know if you know this, Gil, but Arizona beat UCLA a couple weeks ago. Totally missed that one. A little bit random, though. 4 losses in between there. These teams are pretty bad. I got Arizona laying 3.5. Pretty much a pick 'em, give them home field advantage, plus the hook is what I'm going to say on this game. Arizona State at Arizona. Arizona laying 3.5.
Arizona's laying 4.5, the actual line. Well done.
Okay,
you're getting better at this.
I actually am.
By the way, the Arizona State, Florida State debate of which is the smarter school, y'all act like the winner's like Harvard. You know, like,
don't believe me. Like, when people say that to me, they're like, oh, well, you didn't get into Florida? I'm like, yeah, sorry, I missed out on that Harvard medical degree.
What about Florida and FSU? FSU, your alma mater, which Dr. Bob had in his rankings as the number 6 team in the country based on his metrics.
Well, I've updated. I'm saying Dr. Bob has them top 5 now because there's no way they moved down after last week. How about this stat for you, Gil? Outscored past 4 opponents 173-39.
They good.
That's good. Florida lost to Vanderbilt last week. FSU lay in 6. You got to tighten up this point spread. FSU laying 6, though.
You're way low on this, I know.
Really?
Oh, you got to be.
Oh, man. This is a big-time rivalry. Yeah. I'm still going to respect Richardson there.
FSU -9.5, sir. You've underrated your team.
No, I'm not betting Florida, so whatever. I guess there's a little value, in my opinion.
You believe there's value on Florida State now, is what you're saying. Yes?
No. If I had it set 6.
Oh, wait, you had 6.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm not laying 9.5.
Yeah, no, you're not laying 9.5. So the market believes there to be value based on your guess. UNLV. Oh, Wyatt went to UNLV.
Yeah, UNLV making its 8th appearance on guessing lines despite losing 6 straight. This takes care of Wyatt and Sean McCollum over in the corner doing audio today. So Wyatt, our great associate producer on the show. Sean McCollum, one of the great audio guys on this show. Let's see. 6 straight losses for UNLV. Gil, I got a trivia question for you on this one. Nevada, they lost to Incarnate Word this year. What state is Incarnate Word?
Wishnev and I used to talk about this all the time because he always brings up Incarnate Word.
Yeah, it's one of those schools that always jumps off the page.
I don't know.
Texas.
I would not have guessed Texas.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Anyways, UNLV 17-point favorite.
UNLV 17-point favorite. UNLV, who has appeared on this show every single week.
Yeah, almost every single week.
They're only a 12.5-point favorite.
Okay.
Not bad.
Lay the points, I guess.
Kelly sees value on UNLV. All right, next. Illinois and Northwestern. Who went to one of these?
Illinois laying 7 is my guess here. Ryan Pineda, who builds all of our beautiful graphics in the morning, went to Illinois.
Oh, I was hoping he went to Northwestern.
No, so we got Illinois at Northwestern here. I did not realize how bad of a season Northwestern has had. They won their first game of the year. That's it, Gil. So they're looking for the rare win the first one and win the last one of the year.
Yeah.
Illinois dropped 3 straight. I'm going to say laying 7 here. We know Illinois isn't going to put up a ton of points, so this one's a little tougher to figure out what the line actually is, but I'm going to say 7 on this game.
7 is 14. Double it up.
Wow.
Double it up. Not hearing a lot of Pat Fitzgerald talk this year, that's for sure.
Man.
All right, you're way off on that one. Kent State and Buffalo, Maction.
Kent State, Kevin, our other great audio Kevin, guy who's not here today.
Kev went to Kent State.
Kev went to Kent State, yep. He went to Kent State, Golden Flashes, at Buffalo this week in the Maction. I got Buffalo laying 3 points in this one. Both teams coming off of directional Michigan schools, as Matt Brown would like to say. Buffalo 2 losses in a row after a 5-game winning streak. I think they're a slightly better team, Gil, so I'm going Buffalo 3. This basically just, a pick-up, give them home field three.
You're almost on that one. Buffalo minus four. Almost hit that. By the way, this just in. Anthem passion meter. Mexico weeping while singing their national anthem.
Oh, man, lay it all down.
I'll take that for what it's worth. Shout out Georgie Bueno. We got one more?
Yeah, we got a bonus one this week.
Bonus!
Nobody went to either of these schools.
Notre Dame and USC.
We figured we'd put a real game in here.
All right, what do you got?
All right, one real game. USC laying 10. They got to hammer Notre Dame, right? But Notre Dame, the only two teams, can you imagine their season, how different it would be if you didn't lose to Marshall and Stanford?
You're high, buddy. High in terms of your guess, not in terms of your state of mind. Minus 5.5 on the Trojans is the actual line. I've heard very different opinions on this game. Very passionate opinions on both sides. All right, Kel, what'd you like best then? We'll answer that on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.